prejudice one, but I believe that there is language, new language, being offered in 2251's lines 20 through 22, which say, if it appears upon motion that there is that the state or defendant is prejudiced by a joinder, it goes on to say, the court may order an election or separation, separate trials of counts, or provide whatever other relief justice requires. And I am very comfortable then with the bill because of that kind of language, which is also being added. So I'd like to think, Representative Baumann, that in terms of your concern, and rightfully so, of the prejudicial nature, as you say, that new language would take care of a situation where there was possible prejudice, be it to the state or to the defendant. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Representative Clark.
Responding to the comments of Representative Calhoun, I would hope that if any member of this committee does not understand this bill, that they would not cast an affirmative vote, this or any other bill. I don't believe that this is a complex bill, but I echo Representative Calhoun's comments. If we don't understand this bill, we ought not be passing it out of committee.
Representative Mannix, you guys are full of today, 20 minutes.
I would just like the unanimous consent to clear up some of the language here. You had mentioned changing indictment to accusatory instrument in a couple of instances.
Up on six, line six, I think.
There's also a reference to indictment in line 18 and in line five. And I'd like to recommend that we change it to accusatory instrument in all instances.
Any objection to that, then? We should have picked that up.
Otherwise, I have no further comments.
I might also add, somebody's not pointed out in either testimony that, if I remember my criminal procedure well, if you've joined all these offenses and there's not guilty, that's it for all of them, right? Jeopardy has attached for everything, whereby in the other situation you can shoot at him again and again and again. So this is, to a certain extent, a double-edged sword. That as a prosecutor, if you go out for everything in one indictment, you know.
Yeah. Well, once the jury comes back not guilty, that's it.
And a good defense attorney, as you well know, will probably defend on the weak ones and ignore the strong ones, which is, I've seen happen. But that's any further discussion before we move on with somewhat more expeditiously? If not, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Baumann?
No.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Calhoun?
Yes.
Representative Calori?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Representative Edmondson?
No.
Representative Mannix?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Representative Minnis?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Bill passes. Any volunteers on this one?
Volunteer, Mr. Chairman.
What? We've got one. Let's.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. I thought you wanted the package. That's fine.
Representative, are you volunteering Representative Clark?
Yeah.
Representative Miller is volunteered Representative Clark.
That's because you understand the bill, Representative Clark.
You voted yes.
Since Representative Clark made the commitment that he'll only vote on legislation that he understands,
yeah,
we might give him a number of bills to carry this session.
Mr. Chair, I should point out that Representative Miller has done that before, volunteered me for things, that is. I would be glad to.
Work that so well.
2252. There are amendments. The bill has been amended. Are these technically correct, counsel?
Yes.
Okay, not exactly. 2252 is the... what's infamous body wire bill, basically allows police officers to be wired for sound in the investigation of drug offenses. Representative Bryan.
Mr. Chairman, a question with regard to the amendments. There was a deletion on line 24, page 2, that the direct supervision versus supervision. We were deleting the word direct.
I believe that was the amendment.
Yeah. That's what I was looking for.
Yes, that's the amendment. Well, amendments should be...
I didn't find it.
My
You've been on your desk.
Okay, there. Thank you.
There.
Didn't see that.
Do you move the bill, Representative Bryan?
Yes, I would.
Representative Bryan moves House Bill 2252 to the floor. Do pass as amended. As amended. Discussion of the bill.
Chairman?
Representative Calhoun.
Is it going to be customary that the chairman of the committee will bring every one of these bills before the committee, or will there be members carrying the bill before the full committee?
It's usually the chair or the council, the subcommittee, and I'm going to kind of leave it to the other subcommittee chairs how they want to do it. My preference, in my particular subcommittee role, I like to discuss them then ask for motions. I don't know what, Lord knows, what Representative Courtney and Representative Bauman are going to do.
I would have...
We won't ever tell you either.
But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You want to know what I'm going to do, Mr. Chair? You know what I'm planning to do?
I think you're going to...
No, 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 no.
Go ahead.
I've already told you. Where have you been? The bill comes here, and I say, council, and the council then will explain the bill. Now, you talk about carrying the bill, then after the explanation is given by our learned council, then it's over for discussion. That's the way I plan to do it. Is that acceptable or not? I mean, that's how this chair plans to do it.
I'll review that plan and get back
Thank to you. Thank you. Don't forget you live beside me upstairs.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the bill.
I would have one question with respect to the reason for the bill, and then possibly a follow-up question with respect to whether or not it addresses that problem. From my reading, I think this bill is supposed to address a problem with essentially with exigent circumstances or when you don't have enough time to obtain a warrant. Is that correct?
Yes.
Isn't there currently in the statute a provision which provides for obtaining of a warrant under exigent circumstances as an exception to the warrant requirement?
There is a telephonic exception. We asked about that after the hearing, and as it turned out, it has turned out to be very impractical. The telephonic warrant requires the judges to have, I believe, material in front of them. We specifically asked about that.
Isn't there, I mean, aside from the telephonic warrant potential, isn't there also a provision for obtaining a warrant or not having a warrant if there are extant circumstances? Isn't that one of the exceptions?
That is true, but and you've got to draw the line here. Apparently, they feel uncomfortable with the extant circumstances situation. Representative Mannix may have a comment.
On that question, yeah. Here is the difference between a warrant and a court order, and as I recall, you can get a warrant by a telephone, but you can't get a court order by telephone. And the statute requires a court order for a body wire.
That's
Oregon
right.
law generally does not require
that's right.
a warrant to carry a body wire, but it requires a court order.
Yeah. That's thank
that's
you,
what we're changing in certain cases.
My question is, if there was a showing of sufficient exigent circumstance, would there be a requirement for any warrant at all under the present law? Any member of the committee?
What was the question?
Could you go without the? Just go under exigent circumstances, basically.
If there was presently, in the present law, if you showed exigent circumstances, can you not have a warrant and be legitimate under the present law?
No.
Your understanding is no. I don't have any opposition to this bill, but I think I have a different understanding of the present law. I have nothing further than
Chairman. Anything further in the bill? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Bauman?
No.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Calhoun?
Yes.
Representative Lori?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Edmondson?
Yes.
Representative Mannix?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Representative Minnis?
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye. Volunteers, 2252. Representative Bryan. Representative Courtney?
Yes, what do you want?
It's your show.
Where are we now? This is what?
Friday.
HJR?
HJR 2.
Well,
stick with the plan.
This is just a House joint resolution, and it simply declares that first week of November shall be declared Dispute Resolution Week. There's a lot of materials that are coming into my committee on family justice, as those members of the committee know, involving dispute resolution, and we're working on that package. But this bill was simply one that I thought we could move out of committee because it was not complicated. It truly was not controversial. With all due respect to my colleague here, Representative Miller, who voted against it coming out of committee, and on the basis that he philosophically opposes joint resolutions because he doesn't feel they do anything. And with that one dissent, I felt we could clear it from our deck because we do have a heavy agenda in family justice. And so I asked the committee, with in deference to that, would move it here. And that is what it's here for today, to ask that you move to the floor that simply says, let's in the first week of November say this is Dispute Resolution Week. Are there any questions, comments, or concerns about what I've just said? Representative Boone.
Distinguished Representative Courtney, couldn't you talk the governor into doing this by executive order and save us the trouble?
Well, it's a good question. I can't answer it. I think that the theory was that the governor does a lot of things by executive order and sometimes has problems with that. Whereas if he comes forward with one of his bills, this was his idea, and has us go along with it, it's sort of like we're all in it together. If you know what I mean, it has a little more clout to it, Representative, and I think that that's why probably was done. Why it was done, although that question was not discussed in the subcommittee, and I haven't asked him or his staff why he chose to use this vehicle, except that I know that many other things he wants to do in the area of dispute resolution do require legislative action, so he made it part of the package.
Representative Courtney?
Yes, Representative. Am I taking this or not?
You just go ahead. No, I mean you've got the helm.
No, well, go ahead, Representative.
I just want to speak to a serious point on this. There will be significant legislation before the Family Justice Committee on mediation, revamping substantially. And I've been involved in some of those areas in private practice, and I am firmly convinced that this is a crucial part of the answer to our court docketing problems and to some of the litigation, to the tremendous willingness of people in our society to engage in litigation. I'm deeply enthused about the mediation package in front of the Family Justice Committee, and I think that this is a sound way to start that off.
We will take, if I may say to follow, we're going to take a long time on the mediation package, and we've just begun our work there, and I feel very confident with the makeup of the committee that we're going to come to you with a very nice package, and this is our first go-round.
Miller?
Representative Miller, you want to move the bill to the floor?
No. Find my dissent in the sub, and it'll be there again today, and that is simply because I don't find this the best use of our time, and I certainly wouldn't want to burden the Senate committee with this kind of thing.
I thought you were going to say you certainly wouldn't want to burn your relationship up with the chair of the subcommittee, but that's
a little too late.
It's a little too late for that. Well, is there further discussion on this matter?
Just quickly, how much do one of these puppies cost?
I don't know what one of these puppies costs. We've been passing joint resolutions since BC around here, and I don't know what they cost. This is done all...
About saving indigent defense costs.
Okay. No, we did not do an indigent defense cost analysis of HJR2. We didn't discuss that.
We don't have a fiscal impact on this bill?
No, we do not. We do not.
Might I add one comment?
Sure, Representative.
I certainly hope that the Family Justice Committee gets on with the true matters that are facing us this session. It doesn't stick to these trivial symbolic measures that are coming out of the current.
Well, Representative Mason, don't feel lonely.
both the chair and the subcommittee are now called for the vote.
That was said in jest.
I'm sure, but I... Can I see you after the meeting?
Quick, please.
Representative Minnis?
Aye.
Representative Miller?
No.
Representative Mannix?
He's out.
Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Flory?
Aye.
Representative Calhoun?
Yes.
Representative
Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Bauman?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Still passed. Representative Mannix was excused. I did not mean to say absent. Representative Courtney?
Okay. You'll carry the mic?
No, Representative Courtney, who do you
want? Please do. Please.
Let me think about it. Can I assign it later? Who in my committee? Does anyone in my committee has a real yearning to do this?
No, Mr. Chairman, I thought it was more appropriate to do it the second week in November.
2166, Representative Courtney.
Who's carrying HDR 2?
Still to be determined.
Still determined.
Still to be determined.
Council?
2166, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, 2166 comes to you from the Executive Department at the request of the five boards that are listed in the bill. The boards that are noted have the statutory responsibility to investigate complaints. However, they oftentimes do not have the authority to do to look at records, to subpoena witnesses, and do other things to fulfill their investigatory powers. The State Board of Medical Examiners and other health regulatory boards already have these powers. Most of the licensing boards do, and the five boards, actually the total of six with the amendments, wanted those additional powers. The bill comes to you with -1 amendments, which was the addition of the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, who had originally requested to be included in the bill and were inadvertently omitted when the bill was drafted.
I move to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. As amended, Mr. Chair.
Discussion of the bill. Clerk, call the roll, please.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Baumann?
Yes.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Calhoun?
Yes.
Representative Calori?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Representative Edmondson?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Representative Minnis?
Aye.
Aye. Bill passes. Representative Calhoun to carry. 2167, the Ladies and Certain Health Professions. Again, Representative Courtney or Council. Representative Courtney, what's your pleasure?
Council.
Mr.
This is
Chair,
how I'm doing it. By the way, you asked. Watch how I do this. This is what I'm doing. This is my procedure. So if members of the committee object, please tell me after the committee meeting today. Representative Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2167 also comes to you from the Executive Department at the request of the three boards that are noted. The State Board of Psychologist Examiners, the Oregon Board of Optometry, and the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, like the other health licensing boards, requested that their records of their investigations be kept confidential and that persons providing information are exempt from civil liability. As noted, there are 16 health licensing boards. These three do not have these powers, the others do. This would bring them in alignment with the other health licensing boards that exist in Oregon.
Move to the floor, do pass, Mr. Chair. It was unanimous out of the committee. I will announce that every time. I failed to announce last time there was a vote. It was unanimous. This was unanimously also put out of the committee. Is a discussion, please, of the committee, your subcommittee's work.
Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Representative Manning? Representative Edmondson?
Aye.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Clark?
Yes.
Representative Calori?
Aye.
Representative Calhoun?
Yes.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative
Minnis?
Yes.
Representative Mason?
Aye. Bill passes.
Representative Minnis, would you please so kind to carry that bill, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Representative Courtney, 2321.
Council.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2321 comes to you from the Sunset Review Committee. Some number of years ago, Oregon's revised statutes were all made gender neutral. This particular board and its appointments somehow missed that chair process, and the word chairman. Chairman remained, and the council wished to have the word chair replaced Chairman.
Move the full committee. Do pass. Unanimous. Out of the committee. Mr. Chair. Discussion.
Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Baumann?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Calhoun?
Yes.
Representative Flory?
Aye.
Representative Clark?
Aye.
Representative Corton?
Yes.
Representative Edmondson?
Yes.
Representative Mannix?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Representative Minnis?
Aye.
Aye. Passes.
Representative Miller, would you be so kind to carry that bill?
I'd be honored.
Thank you, Representative Miller.
2192, that's family justice too, isn't it?
That's correct.
Counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2192 comes to you from the Department of Insurance and Finance. They have the Accident Prevention Division of the department requested an amendment to the public records law that would keep their investigations of health and safety inspections confidential until the investigation was complete. You will note in the bill that when the investigation is done, that those matters would become a matter of public record. However, they felt it impeded their investigation when those records would be available to anybody or anyone during the course of the investigation.
Move to the floor, do pass. Mr. Chair, unanimous vote out of subcommittee. Discussion, please.
Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Minnis?
Aye.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Yes.
Representative Corton?
Yes.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Flory?
Aye.
Representative Calhoun?
Yes.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Baumann?
Aye.
Representative
Baum?
Yes.
Representative Mason?
Aye. Bill passes. 2216.
Wait a minute.
Wait.
2219. Yes, okay. Sorry.
Edmondson's not here? Representative Collard.
What? Oh, okay.
You're going to carry something.
Okay.
There's a lot of work in this committee, my friend.
Yes.
2216.
I'll do my share. You can be assured.
2216 relating to corrections industry. These next series of bills are a little sad because, as far as I know, these were the last bills Michael Franke ever testified on. 2216 increasing the size of the Board of Directors of Corrections Industry. A very technical bill. No amendments. I know it's no amendments. Essentially puts a representative of the purchasing services of general services on the Board of Corrections Industries.
Move to the floor. Do pass recommendation, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion? Not clerk, call the roll.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Baumann?
Yes.
Representative Bryan?
Yes.
Representative Calhoun?
Yes.
Representative Calori?
Yes.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Representative Mannix?
Yes.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Representative Minnis?
Aye.
Hi. Who hasn't got money?
Don't forget him. He's not done anything yet. He's over there hiding.
Representative Baum?
I'm Mr. Country Lawyer.
He can do it.
Representative Baum, 2216. Gary. 2255. Very slight amendment on this. This is a.
22.
Essentially, 2055. 2055. Department of Corrections has had a petty cash account with the state treasurer. This essentially establishes the petty cash account at $2,000. There were two very minor amendments on it. Line 13, deletion of the word any. Line 2, inserting the word state treasurer and or. Very, very minor amendments. Testimony, no opposition to bill. Technical bill, any discussion?
Move the floor, do pass recommendation.
Clerk, call the roll, please.
Representative Baum?
Yes.
Representative Baumann?
Yes.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Calhoun?
Yes.
Representative Flory?
Yes.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Courtney?
Yes.
Representative Mannix?
Yes. Aye.
Aye.
Representative Mason?
Aye.
Representative Minnis?
Just briefly, there's a grammatical error online, 13 and 14, so hopefully they'll clean up.
Lot of bills.
2054, another technical bill. Monthly fee for paid to Department of Corrections by people under supervision raises that fee from $10 to $25.
Kiss, man. You've been kissing.
Some amendments regarding the ability to waive the fee. You'll find the amendments before you. They're LC 2054-1 amendments. Again, relatively simple bill. Chair moves that the floor do pass as amended. Any discussion, 2054? Clerk, call the roll.
Representative Minnis?
Aye.
Representative Miller?
Aye.
Representative Mannix?
Aye.
Representative Corton?
Yes.
Representative Clark?
Yes.
Representative Flory?
Aye.
Representative Calhoun?
Aye.
Representative Bryan?
Aye.
Representative Bowman?
Aye.
Representative Bowman?
Yes.
Aye. Representative Bowman, carry, 2054. 2214 needs some work on amendments. We're going to, unless there's objection, we're going to forego working on that today.
No objection, Mr. Chair.
2218, Representative Courtney moves 2218 to the floor. Do pass as amended. Representative Courtney
Counsel?
Loves this bill.
I truly do.
2218. He wants you to summarize the council.
This measure gives the Department of Corrections the ability to tap into an inmate's major assets, whether capital or cash flow. The bill enables the Department of Corrections to bill inmates for their costs of care, including those of providing transportation, room, board, clothing, security, medical or other normal living expenses.
Describe the amendments, Representative Courtney, if you can.
Well, that's the question I had. When he left that day, he said that he might have some amendments or et cetera. Did anything come back in? That's the question I have.
Well, the bill had been amended essentially on page 2, line 2. That was, I believe, the Courtney amendment.
Yes.
The Courtney amendment pulled out the phrase, what was the phrase?
Funds needed for personal support after release. I asked that that be deleted, and I believe the subcommittee was kind enough to so do.
Somewhat draconian, but.
So, well, having said that, I move the floor with due pass recommendation if it hasn't been moved, and I don't know what else you want to do.
Further discussion. Representative Calhoun?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to comment that this is the type of serious, non-political motivated legislation that I was referring to earlier, and I'm very happy that Mr. Courtney, Representative Courtney, was able to move this before us today so we can get on to these types of serious matters to address our crime problem in Oregon. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Further discussion. Representative Mannix?
Mr. Chair, is this motion to pass as amended?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Sorry, I didn't make that more clear.
Further discussion. Representative Clark?
Question for Representative Courtney.
Yes.
The definition of inmate assets, when is that determined? Is this forever?
Well, once you lose him, you lose him after he's released from probation. You can never get him then. Once they're discharged, that's it.
The bill earlier makes it clear that when they refer to inmate, they mean someone under the jurisdiction of the Department of Corrections.
Thank you.
Representative Bowman?
Actually, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, please.
I guess this, there's a package here that implies something which I anticipate, hopefully, I'm looking forward to seeing, but I haven't.
Business we've got to take care of, Representative Bowman. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Trying to get him, keep him from leaving. Go ahead.
Haven't seen it yet. And that is the commitment by the state to provide some access to employment opportunities and housing for the inmates who we're referring to here. Because right now, I think we're kind of over-optimistic in our expectation that we're going to get anything out of these people who we really create and maintain as
as indigents, and somehow this engine brings them back to us again and again. So I appreciate the direction here, and I'm looking forward to seeing a series, I guess, of trickle-down bills that will support the ability of these people to reimburse the state of Oregon.
Mr. Chairman.
I just want Representative Clark to understand that there's a rulemaking section in this bill, and they are to adopt administrative rules to decide the ability to pay. And part of that procedure will be to issue an order, which can be challenged by the inmate or their representatives. Sometime during that proceeding, their assets would be determined, Representative Clark. I want to be more specific than to say that just under the jurisdiction of the Correctional Department, the jurisdiction, there is also a procedure that will be developed in which at some time they'll decide what kind of assets they have so that this rule can be implemented, this particular bill can be implemented. So there'll be some procedure in there. Is that, do you understand that?
It does. I guess my question is, really has to do with the relationship between this bill and sentencing. If I'm sent to the penitentiary for a year and fined $5,000,